rules of engagement. Satan is limited. He has some rights, but he's also limited. And so we must know the rights he has, and then we must know his limitations. That's how we can meet him. Anytime you talk about the power of Satan, you're talking about the fact that God has delivered us from his power into his kingdom. The fact that the devil is using tricks, and the Bible says we should be aware of his tricks, means that the devil has no power over the believer. I didn't say he has no power. I said he has no power over the believer. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for this privilege you always give us to come and listen to your word. Even as your word is coming with great power and might, we pray that you help us to understand your word. Let your word find a place in our hearts. Let your word fall like a seed that will bear fruit, that will bring glory to your name. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God for today. Let's welcome Grandma. Grandma is here. Let's welcome Grandma. Amen. Today is 2nd September 2018. And, you know, for the past three weeks now, I've been talking about spiritual warfare, you know, and I say that it is something that I really want to get done and get over with it, because I don't like talking about the devil, you know, but it's important that we also understand our enemy. So we started by looking at dynamics of spiritual warfare, you know, and then we also took a look at unmasking the enemy, where we examine the origin of the devil and his current status. Then last week we looked at the five judgments of Lucifer. The five judgments of Lucifer. Now it's important that we are mindful of the devil's strategy and his tricks, because that is all that he's got now. And if we don't know his tricks and his strategies, we are going to fall victim, you know, to his moves. And today I want to talk about rules of engagement. Rules of engagement. When I say rules of engagement, it is a common phrase that we use with regards to warfare. It means the principles, you know, or the laws governing warfare. We're going to go into it and look at the devil's right, what he has a right to do, and his limitations. Satan is limited. He has some rights, but he's also limited. And so we must know the rights he has, and then we must know his limitations. That's how we can meet him, you know. Now, the first thing that we have to understand is that in the Bible, after Jesus Christ came to die and after he rose from the dead, they don't talk about the power of Satan. In fact, if you search throughout the New Testament, you will only find few scriptures talking about the power of Satan. And in all those scriptures, the Bible was stressing the fact that we have been delivered from the power of Satan. When you read Acts 26:18, the Apostle Paul was giving his mandate. He was talking about his mandate. And that's what God told him to open their eyes. Okay, go to verse 17. So so that we can pick it from the beginning. That was what God told Paul. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you to open their eyes. Continue, verse 18. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. He was talking about the power of Satan, but he was stressing the fact that Paul's mandate was to deliver the Gentiles from the power of Satan to God. So that's, anytime they talk about the power of Satan, they're talking about the fact that God has delivered us from his power into his kingdom. Now come to Colossians 1:13. Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his son of his love. Of the son of his love. He says he has delivered us from what? The power of darkness. So, in the New Testament, after Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead, they don't talk about the power of Satan. You'll never find a place where the Bible is talking Satan has power over the believer. No. The only thing they talk about is the ways of the devil, the wiles of the devil, the strategies of the devil, the schemes of the devil. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10, the Bible talks about our warfare. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, the reason why we should put on the armor, and he goes on to explain the armor in details. And the reason why we should put on the armor is to stand against the wiles, not the power. So the armor is not for the power of the devil. No, we are not under his power. When you become born again, you are born from under his power into God's kingdom. So there's nowhere in the Bible, few scriptures. I saw only two scriptures talking about the power of Satan. And these are the scriptures that I have already quoted. So it says that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles is talking about the tricks. The tricks. Now, if you have power against somebody, why would you resort to tricks? Just ask yourself. If you had power against somebody or you have authority over somebody, are you going to use tricks? Are you going to use schemes? No. You will just go ahead and direct the person. If you want your child to do something, you don't use tricks. You give a command. Hello? So the fact that the devil is using tricks, and the Bible says we should be aware of his tricks, means that the devil has no power over the believer. I didn't say he has no power. I said he has no power over the believer. No power. That's why he uses tricks. The two scriptures we read in Acts 26:18 and Colossians 1:13, they both told us that God has delivered us from the power of Satan and from the power of darkness. The only instance where the Bible talks about power to Satan or power of Satan in the New Testament, all those instances, the power was given to him by God. That means the permission was given. Revelation chapter 6 verse 8, that was talking about Ephesus, and he said that the power was given to some people, some creatures, So I looked and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was dead, and Hades followed with him, and power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beast of the earth. He said, power was given. So the devil doesn't have power over the believer. In this case, he said, power was given. In fact, Revelation 9 verse 3, see, power was given. Power is all has to be given to him. And out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power. So he was talking that at that time, God is going to give them power or permission. See, because the devil is limited. When it comes to the believer, there are a lot of limitations that Satan has. And one of his one of his tricks is to make sure that you never get to know. One of his main weapons against believers is ignorance. That you will never know about him, never know the truth about him, and that he will keep you in fear. That is how he always gets. And that's why I want to take time to strip him for you to know and see everything so that you don't need to be afraid. Hello? So, what are the rules I'm talking about? Now, these are Satan's rights. In this warfare, God has given him some rights, and we must know those rights so that we know that he has a right to do that. Number one, the devil has instant and immediate access to the mind of the believer. That one is his right. He has a right to sow thoughts into your mind. As a matter of fact, the whole warfare is about the mind. It's about words. It's about thoughts. It's about things that you believe. That's the warfare. The whole warfare. So Satan can put a thought in your mind without your permission. It is his right. As part of the rules, he has a right to put any thoughts in your mind. But he cannot execute that thought till you give him attention or you agree. But his right is he has instant access to your mind. He can just fire anything to your mind. Then the rest will be left with you. Now, the devil is the one who put it in the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus. Come to John 13 verse 2. John 13 verse 2. He put it in the heart. And supper being ended, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. See, so Satan came and put that thought to betray Jesus in the heart of Judas. Now, God didn't stop him from doing that because that is his right. It's part of the rules of engagement. So you must be aware that thoughts may come into your mind that are negative thoughts. Sometimes wicked thoughts can come into your mind. And you must know where it's coming from because the devil has access to your mind. Now, when he puts it into your heart and you entertain it, then he gives you the boldness or he fills your heart. He pushes you to do it. Verse 27 of the same John 13, 27. Now, after the piece of bread, see, when Jesus gave Judas the piece of bread, John asked Jesus, who is it that will betray you? Then he said, the one that I will dip my piece of bread and give to him. And the Bible says, now after the piece of bread, after Jesus Christ dipped the bread into the soup and gave it to Judas, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. This one, he now entered him. Before then, he only sowed the thought. Because that's his right. Because when he sowed the thought, Judas did not deal with it. And therefore, he gave it attention. And the devil went a step further to fill him or enter his heart. He came to Acts 5 verse 3. Acts 5 verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? Now, Satan couldn't have filled Ananias' heart if he had not put thoughts in his heart first. You see, when you become born again, the devil or demons cannot possess you because your spirit is joined to the Spirit of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:17, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So Christians cannot be possessed by demons. Okay? So when he says Satan has filled your heart, He's saying that Satan has entered your heart. He has emboldened you. He has given you the power or the impetus to carry out his agenda. And Satan couldn't have had that power over Ananias if he had not given him the thought. And Ananias had not given him attention. So he has instant and immediate access to our minds. The Bible says that we should hold the shield of faith, Ephesians 6:16, against the fiery darts, the flaming darts of the wicked one. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, the fiery darts of the wicked one, he fires them into our mind. You know darts, like arrow. So Satan takes an arrow, then he shoots that arrow into your mind. But the thing is that the arrows, they are fiery. Fiery means that they have fire at their tail. So when the thought lands in your mind, it starts burning. So he will fire one thought, then the thought will start burning. Then you will start giving it attention. Do you know how people get to the stage of getting so angry that they even kill? You, a believer, if you allow yourself, you can get so angry that you can kill. You are not far from a murderer. We are not far from murderers. I'm telling you. Because the devil can just put a thought in your mind like that. Then the thought will start burning. Then you will start thinking about it. Then it will be burning. As it keeps burning, then your anger is rising. The next thing that you do, you will say something or you do something that you regret. Because he puts the thought and it's a fiery dart. Let me tell you something. When it comes to the believer and Satan, don't think of a power encounter. No, it is not a power encounter. It is a truth encounter. All the spiritual warfare we have with the devil is this. He is trying to get you to believe a lie. Number two, he is trying to get you to use your power against yourself or against your brother. That's all. He has no power to touch you unless you give him permission. So how he can manage to get you to give him permission for you to use your weapons against yourself. That is what he plans to do. And that is the spiritual warfare. The weapons that God has given us, those weapons, they are weapons that deal with things like words, ideas, yes, thoughts. That's why I say it's not primarily a power encounter, it is a truth encounter. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 46. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, meaning they are not physical, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. What are the strongholds? Wait, now he's going to explain the strongholds. Go down. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, look at how he explains stronghold. Arguments. Things that will fight against the knowledge of God. What you know about God. So he uses thoughts. And they say thoughts. Bringing every thought. These are his fiery darts. Because that is his right. If we understand this, we have gotten a very vital and major secret in dealing with the devil. That your mind is a battlefield. His right is to sow seed. His right is to sow seed into your mind. It's a battle of seeds. Satan is a sower. God is a sower. And they are both sowing. It's a battle of seeds. And the whole thing happens in the mind. That's why we need a helmet of salvation. I'll talk about that later on. You see, but this one, you see, the shield of faith is what we need to ward off the fiery darts of the enemy. The second right he has access to your dreams. Yes. The devil can come into your dreams. He has that right. Or he can send his agents into your dreams. You see, your dream world is the spirit realm. And the devil has access. Now, he has access to your dream, but he cannot execute his plans without your permission. The same way God has access to your dreams, but God cannot do it without your compliance. Like God went to Solomon in a dream and said, "Ask me what you want and I'll give it to you." And in the dream, Solomon replied, "Give me wisdom." Then God also replied in the dream, "I've given you wisdom above all the kings." Then after Solomon came out of the dream, the wisdom began to operate in his life. He got the wisdom in a dream. Who was replying God in the dream? It was Solomon's spirit. And the state of his spirit was what was being played out. So when God said, when God asked him, "What do you want?" He didn't say, "I want money." If money was what was in his heart, he would have said, "I want money." But he said, "I want wisdom." And God gave him the wisdom that he asked for in a dream. Satan can come to you in a dream and give, offer you suggestion, offer you alternatives, offer you things. So don't be surprised if you have a dream and the devil comes to you. As a matter of fact, he went to Jesus in his dream. You know, the temptation of Jesus Christ did not take place physically. I mean, you think it's physical? Do you think Satan took Jesus and carried him to the mountain and everybody was there? They saw Satan and Jesus on the mountain. Then he showed him that, yeah, this is the glory of the kingdoms of this world. And then he took him and carried him to the pinnacle of the temple. The temple is a place where everybody, people who are there all the time. So like they saw Jesus on the pinnacle of the temple. No, it was a dream. He came to him in the spirit. So when he came and said, "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread," it was in the dream. It was in the spirit realm. You see, because he has access to the spirit realm, he can come to you. False prophets can come to you and try to corrupt you in a dream. If your heart is already corrupt, they will corrupt you in the dream. Yes. So what you set your heart for or towards, you can have an impartation in a dream. Hello? Are you here? You can have an impartation in a dream. The devil too has access to your dream. He can come to your dream. You see, the reason why he comes to your dream is that when you are asleep, you are not conscious of yourself. Satan cannot interfere in visions. That's why when you have dreams, when I have dreams, most of the time, God confirms those dreams in visions. You see, because in a dream state, you are not conscious of yourself. But in a vision state, you are not asleep. The devil comes in while men sleep. Matthew 13:25 said, "But while men slept," that's when he came. So when he said, "But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares." So he's a sower, but he comes to sow in the night when you are asleep. Now, when he sows the seed, you also have the right to either retain it or reject it. So you see, he has rights, also have rights. So he can come to your dream and sow a negative thought in a dream. He can sow lust in a dream. He can sow sickness in a dream. What do you do? When you get up, your right is either to let it remain or to say, "I reject it, I cancel it." That's where we miss it. The fact that you had a dream and somebody shot you, you see, somebody shot you with a gun in a dream. It means the devil has access to your dreams. So he came and then he shot you. So he has finished his part. As for him, he's a sower. He only sows. But you also have a right. So when you wake up, you can decide that, okay, let the seed remain. Or this seed, I reject it, I cancel it, I uproot it in Jesus' name. That is your right. So know your right. And because he knows his right. He's one person who knows his right. When Jesus met the demon, he said, are you coming to destroy before the time? He was telling Jesus that, he was saying, look, I know my right. I know you can't destroy me now. It's my right. And Jesus understood it. Hello? So he can come and sow seed because he has access to your dreams. Don't be surprised if you see Satan in your dream. Doesn't mean that you are evil or you are a devil or you are a witch. No. He can come to you. Sometimes God will even use that one to teach you certain things. Because the thing is, the devil can even come as an angel of light. He has that right. I'll talk about that. He has a right to transform himself into an angel of light. To deceive. It's his right. He's a deceiver. He's a sower. Now, he can come and even snatch the word of God from your heart. He has that right too. Including the word of prophecy that God has given you. If you allow him. You see, when I talk about his right, then I talk about our right too. In Matthew 13, verse 18 to 19, the Bible talks about the fact that it says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. So he can snatch your prophecy from your heart. And the condition is, and does not understand. The word that he can snatch from your heart is the word that you have not understood. Hello? In other words, the word that you have not gotten the revelation of, the prophecy that you have not really understood, you have not really received or accepted, he has a right to snatch it from your heart. So you say, I was given this prophecy, but it never materialized. Because he snatched the word out of your heart. He has that right. That is why he fights against your understanding. Coming to the level of understanding, he will fight against you. He will try and distract you from hearing. Now, if you hear it, then he will work against your understanding. Let's understand. You see, the fight that Satan is fighting us, he is only using tricks, not power. He has no power against the believer, so he uses tricks. One thing he fears most is revelation, understanding, light. It's one thing the devil fears, light. When light is coming to the believer, the devil panics. Do you know why? Because he knows that when the believer knows his right, he has lost the battle. I mean, he, Satan, has lost the battle. So he will prevent you from getting to know certain things. That's why he will fight against the word. He will fight against the word. So the sad thing is that many believers have become people who love prayer, but they don't love the word. And so they pray and pray and pray, but the devil is still controlling them and still and limiting them and still oppressing them, and because he's not afraid of prayer. It's the truth you know that will make you free. And so he will prevent you from knowing the truth, understanding the truth. Do you know why an angel of darkness had to go and withstand Daniel for 21 days? Because the angel of God was bringing understanding to Daniel's vision. Daniel was fasting and praying for understanding, not visa or money. The 21 days fasting that Daniel embarked on, it was for understanding. As soon as Satan saw that the guy is praying for understanding, he said, go and stop him. Because once he gets light, we are doomed. Make sure you stop him. So they blocked access. And they withstood the angel for 21 days. But at that time, they occupied the heavens. That we will not let you give this guy light. Because if he gets light, many people will be liberated. Because there's power in light revelation. When people are enlightened, they are liberated. You see, even in the times of the colonial masters and all that, one thing they did was to keep us perpetually in darkness, in ignorance. Because when people become aware of themselves, you can't control them. And the way people control people is through words, their mind. You know how Hitler was able to sway all the Germans against the Jews and to get them to kill 6 million Jews through words. He got them convinced that these people, they are not fit to live. So the devil will come and he will sow something in your mind. Then he will go his way. If you look at the parable of the tares, he said, the enemy came and sowed tares among them and then went his way. Come to 13 verse 18. Come to 25.
Okay.
But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Why does he have to stand there and wait? He's just a sower. So he has sown his seed and he goes his way. He goes and stands somewhere, just timing, waiting for the manifestation. Sometimes that's what he does. God has told you that with this person, you are going to run through a troop and scale over walls. That the connection between you and this person is going to chase 10,000. You are going to make impact. Do you think Satan is a fool? He can't come and kill you because he has no power over you. What he will do is that he will sow seeds into my heart and your heart, and we will never agree. Because the day we agree, he's doomed. The day we agree, that's his end. So he will make sure that we will never agree. So he will come and sow seed. He's a sower. Then the two of us are fighting. Then as we are fighting, our inheritance is being depleted. He cannot take your inheritance, but he can prevent you from taking it. Are you getting me? You must sit on this throne. He cannot take the throne away from you, but he will lock the door so that you can't even enter. So he uses tricks and all that. So sometimes we think that he's so powerful because he's able to get things done some way, somehow. But it's not power he uses. It is tricks he uses. Because against the believer, he has no power. Satan, there's nowhere in the Bible that teaches that. Satan has no power in the believer, against the believer. The believer is far above the devil. Seated far above the devil. As I'm preaching this, somebody is afraid. I don't want any trouble. Don't go and trouble the guy, you know. If you go and trouble him, he comes after us. No. You see, the knowledge you have will determine whether he comes to you or not. Are you getting me? That's why you must know. When he knows that you know, he's afraid. But if he gets to know that you don't know, he can just bully you and bully you and bully you. So I'm showing you his rights and his limitation. The third one is that he can never touch the believer without the believer's permission. The devil has no right to touch the believer without the believer's permission. 1 John 5:18. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. The wicked one, he does not sin, but he keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. So the devil cannot touch the believer without the believer's permission. Let's understand that. Let that sink into your heart. He has no right to touch you unless you give him the permission to touch you. He can't touch you. He can't touch you. Ephesians 4:27 says, do not give place to the devil. If as some versions say, do not give the devil a foothold. Because a foothold would lead to a stronghold. So somebody, you see, when the Bible says, yes, when the Bible says, do not give place to him, it means that they are treating him as insignificant. Are you getting me? It's like a dog is coming and say, hey, don't let it enter. Close the door. It means the dog is insignificant. Somebody who is stronger than you, the Bible will not say, don't give him place. How dare you? How can you say, I won't give you place? I mean, but the Bible says, do not give him place because he is insignificant. So don't open the door for him. Shut the door on him. That's what he's saying. Hello? Now, the other right he has is this. If the believer does not resist the devil, he has a right to be around. Yes. For as long as you have not resisted him, he has a right to follow you. A right to be around you. A right to be causing distractions. Because you have not resisted him. It's not enough to be holy. You have to resist the devil. I'm going to show you that. Come to James 4:7. James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, he didn't say, therefore, submit to God and Satan will flee from you. That is not what the Bible says. Say, submit to God. Resist him. So, you can submit to God. If you don't resist him, he will still be around. Yes. It's not enough to submit to God. You must consciously resist him. Put him at his place. That is when he will stop following you. It's not enough to be different or to be holy. No. When it comes to the devil, let me tell you something. The devil is not afraid of your holiness. Nor is he afraid of your anointing. He still went to Jesus. Are you holier than Jesus? Are you more anointed than Jesus? He still was hanging around Jesus. Jesus got to a point and said, Satan, get off! Before he left. Come to Matthew 4 verse 10. Then Jesus said to him, okay, come to verse 9. You know, go a bit higher, you know, like verse 5 or so. Let me show you something. From verse 4. Okay, it's okay. Then the devil took him up into a holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. I'm going to talk about that later on. The devil, he knows scriptures. Jesus said to him, it is written again. So if you don't know what is written again, then he will defeat you. Are you getting me? Because he's quoting what is written. And Jesus said, no, it's written again. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. So they were arguing. Continue. They were arguing. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain. You see, so this one, if it was physical, that this is Satan and Jesus following him. Let's go to the mountain. Let me tempt you there. and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall not worship the Lord God, and him only you shall serve. Continue. Then the devil left him. When did he leave him? When he said, away. So all the time that you were saying, it is written, he was still around. Satan, I won't do it. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone. Okay, I understand. Then, okay, what about this one too? Cast yourself down. It's written that you shouldn't tempt God. Okay, I understand. Then, okay, now, this is the glory. Worship me. Let's, hey, get away from me. That was when he left. The devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. So, for as long as you have not resisted him, he has a right to continue to follow you. Till you get to a place of desperation and say, hey, Satan, get lost. That's the language he understands because he's a beast. It's the language he understands. So don't say that, oh, just live a holy life and Satan will leave you alone. No, you have to resist him. It's not enough. You have to resist him. 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It's not enough to be sober. Continue. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Resist him. That's the point. That's the difference between Eve and Jesus. Eve didn't get to a point of resisting him. You see, Eve was just saying that, he said, hey, so is it true that God says that you shouldn't eat any of the trees, the fruits of the trees? Hey, then it's serious. So then Eve said, oh, it's not like that. God didn't say that, you know. He said we shouldn't eat of this particular tree, and the day we eat or touch, we will die. He said, you will surely not die. And then they were conversing, they were chatting. But if Eve had gotten to a point where she had said, it's enough. Get off. Get away. That was the point that God wanted her to get to, for Satan to leave her alone. But she didn't get to that point. And she was just tolerating the devil. Like somebody was saying, Satan, go away. Satan, go away. Satan, go away. He was troubling one that a big girl, and Satan, go away. Satan, go away. You don't say that to a dog, you know. A dog can follow you. Hey. Then you will go. Then you will pull you again. They say, until you get to the point where you take a stick or a stone, and say, then he will go. That's how Satan is. If you don't learn to resist him, he will frighten you. Fighting you. Somebody called me last week, and the person was saying certain dreams that he was having about to get married, and the devil is bombarding him with some dreams, and he's afraid that the marriage will not come off and that his life is going to be messed. I said, look, 2 weeks to my wedding, I had 2 dreams. I was having dead relatives. 2 dreams. 2 weeks. 2 weeks to my wedding, I was hugging my grandfather who is dead, and then another auntie, grand auntie, who is also dead. I was hugging them. 2 separate dreams. 2 weeks to my wedding. Then 3 days to my wedding, somebody had run away with my shoe, wedding shoe. In a dream. These are normal things. See, they're normal. The devil has access to your dreams. So what do you do? When you wake up, are you going to accept or reject? Everything depends on you. He knows it's right. But your right is, do I accept or I reject? So you wake up and you cancel it. So I told him that. I told him my own. Then he said, hey, and I mean, that immediately cry you. said his own was better. Because the thing is that, like, if you have these dreams, are you going to sit down and weep and say that, oh, then the wedding is going to be basa, or my marriage is going to be this, or no? You must. You are the one who decides. Listen, when I'll talk about familiar spirits in this series. Familiar spirits, they can sometimes try to predict your future. And if you don't stop them, the future they predict will come to pass. And it's always a negative picture that they will predict. Somebody can just call you and say, I see death. I see death. I see that you have problems in your marriage. I see you have problems in your marriage. He is predicting your future for you. What do you do? You have to take hold of those words and say, I reject this word. I cancel this word. It will not happen to me. And you have to know the word. Say, I reject this word. No, it won't happen to me. I refuse it. You see, that's why some people, some prophets can get up on 31st December and they can be saying negative things in the atmosphere. And believers think that it is God who is saying those things. Some of them, the devil is predicting the future. Last year, January, I led a prayer here to cancel all the prophecies one prophet gave. That this is going to happen. One prophet said that from April to August, people are going to die. A great flood, rain or storm is going to come. And it's going to uproot trees and kill people. At the Biazo conference, we canceled it. I led a prayer that we should cancel it because that same prophet is the one that I saw in the dream and he was telling me that Afi be queen papa sa. Yes. So I got to know that he was actually trying to predict something for the nation. Now people will say that. And so when it comes to prayer, they will say, oh, because you didn't pray. Yes, it's true. So we must cancel it. Not allow familiar spirits to predict your future. Cancel it. Reject it. Hello? Because if you don't reject it, it will come to pass. Do you know why? Because of your permission. Because of your permission. Even God, if he wants to do something in your life, he needs your cooperation. How much more the devil? Even God, who is your father, if he wants to do something in your life, he needs your cooperation. So how can Satan just get up and do something in your life without your permission? No. We must resist him. Now, he doesn't know God's plan for your life into details. All that he knows a bit of God's plan for you, especially when it is spoken or written, when it is revealed. That's why when prophecy comes, then warfare comes. Because he only gets to know God's plan for your life when it is spoken out. So the time the prophet called you and said, I see money, 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 money. That was the time the devil got to know that your destiny is money, money, money. So I'm going to fight you. When it is spoken or written. Because God's plan for your life is sealed in your spirit. Bible says that who knows the things of a man save the spirit that is in the man. Your spirit knows your destiny more than any prophet, I'm telling you. Your destiny from A to Z has been sealed in your spirit. The man of God will only be saying things that are written in your book. If your book is closed, there's no way anybody can know what God has planned for you. Unless your book is open. But the devil doesn't know. He has a clue. He has a clue. For instance, he can know that this person is going to be great. You see, that knowledge, God forbids that knowledge in the Bible. Because that's what Satan does. He tries to look into the future. But God doesn't... God hates that. He forbids that. So, familiar spirit, they try to look into the future. In Matthew 2:2, people were able to locate the star of Jesus. These people were unbelievers. They were wise men. They were astrologers. And God had forbidden astrologers from Israel. God told them, look, don't try to look into your future by looking at the stars. Don't predict. I hate it. But the wise men said, for we have seen a star in the east. God, they were from the east, eastern religion. You know, they were not from God. But do you know why God led them to the Messiah? Because the Bible said that Abraham gave gifts to some of his sons and sent them away to where? The east. So, they were coming to honor their great grandson of Abraham. But they were not people who worshiped God. Abraham sent his sons away to the east with gifts. Then wise men came with gifts to Abraham's greatest grandson. But the wise men were not believers. And they were using the star to predict. And they could see that a great person had been born. You see, the shepherds didn't need a star. The shepherds, it was God who told them, an angel told them, the Messiah has been born in Bethlehem. Are you getting me? So he said, my sheep, they hear my voice. Okay, I'll talk about my sheep hear my voice. They were shepherds, and they could see the angel appeared and told them, gave them direction. But these wise men, they were wise. They wanted to discern by looking at the star. But it was a practice that God had forbidden in Israel. Come to Isaiah 47, verse 12 to 14. I want to show you something. Stand now with your enchantments and the multitude of your sorceries in which you have labored from your youth. Perhaps you'll be able to profit. Perhaps you will prevail. Continue. You are worried in the multitude of your counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, and the monthly prognosticators stand up and save you from what shall come upon you. He said, the stargazers, they are people who look at the stars and they use the stars and the planetary bodies to predict people's future. It is an evil practice. It is forbidden. It is occultic. Monthly prognosticators are... prognosticators, they are like horoscope. You know horoscope? It is a forbidden practice. Don't read horoscope again. These are ways that the devil gets at. Don't read it. Zodiac signs. You are Pisces. You are Cancer. Leo. What? There was a time I used to read that thing. So I read a book by Ernest Angley. Long time ago. Around 95. Then from that time, I stopped reading horoscope. God, it's always in the newspapers. So this week, you will meet somebody. If you are, it may be Pisces, this week, you will meet somebody who will do you good. So as you go, you expect this week. They are trying to predict the future. God has forbidden that practice. They are stargazers. Hello?
So somebody can just call you and say, predict your future by looking at your star. Say, I see that you have a bright star. That's why witches in the family, when somebody is born, they can say that, oh, this person has a bright star. They don't know the details. So the person has a bright star, so let's cover it. They don't know the details, but you know you'll be great, you'll be a great person. That's what they do. So the devil does not know God's plan for your life. It is God. It is only God who knows his plans for your life. And then you, and God reveals it. God reveals it. So, you see, that's why Satan knows many things about you. He knows your genealogy. I mean, this one gave birth to this one gave, he knows all that. He knows who your parents, because he has been there for a long time. You just came like maybe 50 years ago or 40 years ago or 30 years ago, or some of you even like 20 years ago. But he has been there for, family all the time. So he can talk about all those things. But he doesn't know God's plan for your life. That's why it is word of wisdom that reveals God's plans for your life. Either through the prophetic word, through a dream, through a vision, or through personal conviction of the Spirit. Hello? He doesn't know what you are thinking. He's limited. He doesn't know what you are thinking. Sometimes he will trick you to say what you are thinking. And there are some of the thoughts he himself will bring them. But the deep secrets he doesn't know. So he will just trick you, then you will just be saying something. In the spirit realm, your word is your bond. Believers, we must understand the place we occupy. You are a prince and a princess of God. Even angels, they dare not question you. Angels are very careful around believers because of the authority that we carry on earth. So they are just there around you, waiting for you to give some instruction for them to follow. If you the believer, you say, I'm inviting sickness into my life. The angels cannot do anything because you are a prince. Your word is your bond. What you say must stand. They only enforce God's word. So when you speak what God has said, then quickly they enforce it. When you speak any unproductive word, negative word, the angels cannot do anything. They will just stand idle and then watch what you want, what you ordered for to be served you. That's why the Bible says that, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. That word corrupt means it lacks power. Let no word that lacks power come out of your mouth. Don't be saying things, negative things. As a believer, watch what you say, because your word is your bond. In the spirit realm, what you say is your bond. That is what you have agreed. That's why I say he doesn't know what you are thinking, but what you say, he hears. Including what you tell other people, he hears. So last week I said, even if you are afraid, don't say it. Even if you are afraid, don't let everyone get a clue that you are afraid. Don't say it. He will not know that you are afraid. But once you say it, then he knows. So let me tell you something. When we talk about God revealing things, listen, there's a point where Satan cannot get you. There are things that Satan cannot reveal. He cannot reveal the secrets of your heart. He's limited in that area. He doesn't know what you are thinking, what's going on in your mind. He can't reveal the secrets of your heart. That one is only God who can reveal. So if you want to test true prophetic, it's not about something that Satan can know and say. Word of knowledge can tell you what has happened to your life. You had an accident. That one, everybody knows, right? That one Satan can know. God too knows. God can also tell you that. Your name is Bishop. That one is not anything new. You know, I know. Everybody knows. So Satan too can know. But the secrets of your heart, if the prophecy reveals something that is in your heart, is God. Are you getting me? Because it is only God. Come to 1 Corinthians 14, 24. The word of prophecy reveals the hidden things of the heart. Because that one Satan doesn't know. It's only God. But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all. He is convicted by all. Continue. And that the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Why? Because for the fact that the prophecy was able to reveal what was in his heart, it is God. God is there because it is only God who can do that. Satan cannot do that. He doesn't know. That's why the Bible says the more sure word of prophecy is the word of God. You see, the word of God can reveal the secrets of your heart. Hebrews 4:12. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to a division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. This is the word of God. That's why sometimes when preaching is coming, you see that the preacher will say something that it confirms something that is deeply buried in your heart. Because Satan doesn't know what is in your heart. He only knows what has been revealed. But God knows what is in your heart. So the test of true prophecy is that there will be an element, something that will be revealed. The secrets of your heart. Some people, you know, we as a ministry, we believe in the prophetic and we have prophets. Now, but we believe in the prophetic and we believe also in balance. There are some people, you will go for a meeting, then they will call you. They will call you and then they will tell you everything about yourself. God can also do that. It was God who called Saul, who told Ananias about Saul, said, there's a guy praying, his name is Saul. He's on a street. That was God giving all those details. He's praying and he has seen a vision. You know, and this, I've chosen him to be an instrument and I will show him what great things he will suffer for my name's sake. It was God who was showing Ananias what was going on in Paul's life. Satan too can know the same details about Ananias and about Saul. Wasn't there a demon who said, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. So he knew Paul. He can say, I know Paul, or Saul of Tarsus. Is that short man? I know him. He lives here, he lives there. I know, he knows all the details. But he cannot tell what is going on in your heart. That one is only God. The next one is that Satan is permitted to take advantage of you if you are ignorant. It's also part of the rules. They say what you don't know can kill you. What you don't know will not work for you. That's what it is. That's why you must know. You must know what is what. So that you know. And what once you know, it starts working for you. Do you know that according to what Jesus Christ has done, God is not holding any sin against the world?
according to Jesus' work on the cross, he took away the sin of what? Of the world. So God is not holding any sin against the world, but people will still die and go to hell because they don't know. Just that. Because in 2 Corinthians 5:18, Bible says that, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, not holding anything against them. Not imputing their, verse 19, trespasses to them. But, so it means that God is not holding anything against anybody in the world. He has forgiven everybody. But people will still go to hell because they don't know they have been forgiven. So they don't receive. It's the same thing. God has done many things for the believer. But if we don't know, we don't get. If we don't know, we don't get. And he can take advantage of us if we don't know. So 2 Corinthians 2:11, Paul said, let Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his what? Of his power. Devices. Not power, devices. His methods. You know, Paul was talking about a brother who had been removed from the church because he was in immorality. And in chapter, in 1 Corinthians 5, Paul asked them to remove the brother from their midst. And the brother was removed and they neglected him and he was dying with sorrow, overwhelmed with sorrow. And Paul was saying that brother in 2 Corinthians, said, that brother, bring him back. So, lest he be overwhelmed with sorrow. And he said, otherwise Satan will take advantage of, because we know how he behaves. We know his devices. So, he told them to bring the brother back and restore him. Otherwise, Satan will take advantage of them. Because, so if you don't know about his devices, you are ignorant of his devices, he can take advantage of you. In other words, he can make profits out of you. Because you don't know how he behaves, how he thinks, his strategy. See, when I talk about his strategies, you understand. You will see clearly that the devil is very crafty. Very, very crafty. How he can get you, see, he can get you the champion. The champion. He is the challenger. You are the champion. He can get you to toe his line and to do his bidding. Just by tricking you. With all your strength and your belt and your title, he can just trick you and then just trick you. He's full of tricks. So we need to be exposing his tricks so that we can know. Now, I'm going to end. Today, I was just talking about the rules of engagement. Okay. Now, he cannot afflict the believer at will, except the believer gives him permission. He can't afflict the believer. He has no right to afflict you. But there are Christians that the devil can oppress and afflict. In fact, there are some people that Satan can even afflict with mental diseases. You see? But he has no right to do that. It's all because if you don't know some of these things, that he takes advantage. He always likes to take advantage. Always takes advantage. That's how he behaves. We must not walk in fear as a Christian. Don't walk in fear. Don't walk thinking that, hey, Satan is about to strike me. No. He has no right to do that. That, hey, what about if this happens to me? Hey, this will happen to me. Hey, as I sit in the car, what about if I, an accident happens and I die? It's just fear.
Don't walk without fear. There are more assurances of God's protection in the Bible. In Genesis 3, 14 and 19, I want to show you something. Genesis 3, 14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle. You know, he was a cattle. And more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. So dust is the food that God appointed for the devil after man fell. He said, now, the food you eat is dust. You have a right to eat dust. But if it's not dust, you have no right to eat. Come to verse 19. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. This was to Adam. So God said, for food you are to the devil. For dust you are food to the devil. Adam. Adam, you are food to the devil. Because dust is what he can bite. Now, dust stands for fallen man. If you are not born again, you are food to the devil. That's why you must, Jesus Christ said, you must be born again. He didn't say you should, you must. Because if you are not born again, you are still in the realm of dust. And he has a right to do whatever he wants with your life. But when you become born again, you leave dust to rock. You become a little rock. 1 Peter 2:5. 1 Peter 2:5 said, but you are living stones. No serpent can bite the rock. You also as living stones, you see. So we are stones, we are rocks, we are not dust. So he has no right to afflict the believer at will. Unless we give him the right or permission. He can bite anything that is dust. But we, rocks, say we shall pick up serpent. The serpent cannot bite the rock. He can only bite the dust. Yes. And we are not dust. Anywhere there is dust, he's there. That's why we have to... that's why when you become born again, Bible says you have been delivered from the power of Satan. In other words, now you are not under his control. You are not his appointed food. He cannot just get up and say, I'll do what I want with his life. There are people who are not born again, who right now, they have made their list. Satan has made his list. Another Christmas is coming. He has made his list. I'm telling you. That this one, will use this one for kebab. This one for sausage. This one for, yes. But it's not the believer. Amen. That's why, but you see, we even our prayers can cover our unbelieving relatives. Yes. Because of us, our relatives who are not believers, our prayers cover them. That otherwise, Satan would have, our prayers cover even those who are not believers. Till they come to know God, then they also will leave the power of the devil. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. This scripture I taught my children. And they pray it every day. My Lord, who is faithful, establish and keep me from all evil. That's the version I taught them. Keep me from all evil. But the Lord, who is faithful, will establish me and keep me from all evil. It's a prayer they pray before they sleep every day. So it's a confession, yes. Establish you and keep you from evil. This is what the Bible says. God will keep us from evil. You see, we must believe what God says. Anytime you depart from the word, fear enters you. The devil will tell you that so and so was so anointed and this happened to him. Meanwhile, we don't know the details. So you're also afraid. You're also afraid. Behold the threatenings of the devil. He will threaten you. He will threaten you. There are some people, Satan will tell them, look, when you get married, you can't give birth. He told me that. He told me that. He told me that. Somebody told me that. In a dream. And that was Satan. The person stands for Satan. So when you get married, you can't give birth. He said, have you seen this man of God? That man of God? He has no children. You too. The same. Yes, I'm telling you the truth. I never told anybody. But you see, some of these things, once you voice them out, the fear, just cancel it. God, it's a thought. It's a fear that is in you. It's a fear that is in you. Just cancel it. Deal with it. Speak. He said, no, it will happen to me. You know, that was when I started using Psalm 128 to always say, my wife shall be a fruitful vine beside my house, and my children like olive plants run about my table. I was always saying it. Satan, you were a liar. My wife shall be a fruitful vine beside my house, and my children will be like olive plants run about my table. 128. In fact, the whole chapter. Psalm 91 talks about the protection that we have. In this series, I'll talk about the stronghold of the believer. Then you will know that we have protection. We have a stronghold. Let me show you one stronghold we have. Unity. It's a stronghold. Fellowship is the stronghold of the believer. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, all that he says in Psalm 91, the condition is abide in the secret place of the Most High. Everything in Psalm 91, including no evil shall befall you, neither shall any plague come at your dwelling, angels will bear you in their wings. The condition is he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. When you come into the Lord, you have run for refuge. You have come to his inner chamber, his tent, secret place. He hides you in his secret place from the eyes of the enemy. The only way the devil gets the believer is when you stray from the secret place. When you stray, they told Rahab, they said that for as long as you are in the house, bring all your father's house, all your family members, bring them into this house and hang this scarlet thread on your window. Anybody who is in the house is safe. And said, it shall come to pass, if anybody leaves the house, we will not be guilty of the person's blood. And look at this. Joshua 2:15 says, Rahab's house was on the wall of Jericho. So how come when the wall of Jericho imploded, Rahab was not killed? For her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. So how come when the wall of Jericho imploded, how come Rahab did not die and all those in the house did not die? That is the protection of God. That is immunity for the believer. But we must believe it. Believe it. Let it be your mind. Stop allowing Satan to put fear in your heart that you will walk in this world and you are afraid that something bad will happen to me. We have seen so many bad things. And so somehow, you can say that there is a justification for fear. But the Bible says that God protects the believer. If Satan had his way, he would have killed you long time. If indeed he has power to kill you, he would have killed you long ago. I mean, which smart enemy will not eliminate the enemy? If Satan had power over your life to do as he pleases, you, Bishop, going to Asawan Kesi, then you take the lead. you would have killed you long ago. Long ago. See, with your nice dress. Leading nice worship and praise with a glory choir. But God protects the believer. Look at Job 1 verse 10. Look at Satan's own confession. Job 1 verse 10. Satan's own confession. This is Satan talking to God about Job. Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased. You have made a hedge around him. This was Satan confessing about Job, that God, you have built a hedge. How did he know that God had built a hedge around Job? He went to try Job. So that, this man, there's a hedge. Once you are in the hedge, you are covered. Once you are in the hedge, you are covered. The believer has protection. The hedge, when the hedge is broken, then you can invite Satan. Job, there was a hedge around you. Do you know how his hedge is broken? Job 3:25 will tell you how Job's hedge was broken. Job 3:25. For the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. Fear opened the door for Satan. That's why I'm talking about the fact that don't allow fear to gain roots. Even if you are afraid, don't say it. If you will speak what God has said. You are afraid. You know this one, you are afraid. Don't say it. Say what God has said. Because there are a lot of negative news flying around us, you know. That's why I was telling those at the school of ministry that I said, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Fear comes by hearing and hearing by the world. You put on the TV, negative news. If you say, I'm going to watch African movie, somebody was pregnant, witches came to steal the baby from her womb, negative news. If you say, I'm listening to the radio, negative news. You say, I'm robbers are in town now. They've gone to kill Mr. A and all his family. Gee, now the world is becoming scary and scary. What are we going to do? So you must create your own news. Yes, create your own news. Say, oh, it's true, it's happening. But this is what I believe. This is what I believe. Sometimes, if you allow fear, you see, they say cowards die many times before their death. If you allow fear roots in your life, and I'm going to talk about the devil's, I'll talk about believer's stronghold and Satan's stronghold, how he builds stronghold. He builds stronghold by only two things, fear and lies. You see a giant structure of the devil in somebody's mind. All fear and lies. A stronghold, giant structure. Controlling the person. Fear and lies. These are the two things that Satan builds the strongholds on. So we must make sure the hedge is not broken. The protection we have from corruption is a life of purity. When you don't walk in purity, you break the hedge for you to be corrupted. That's why that time I said that there's a strong link between immorality and familiar spirits. The fastest way to contaminate your anointing is to walk in sexual immorality. Now, I'm not saying Satan will come and strike you. No, I'm saying that it's a protection against purity. And when that hedge is broken, when that hedge of purity is broken, you invite demons into your life. Because in Revelation, I think 18, Bible says that mystery Babylon has become a habitation for all manner of evil birds and demons. He said, because she has given her wine of fornication to the kings of this world, and they are drunk. They have committed fornication with the kings of this world. So she has become a habitation for all kinds of demons. That's our hedge. If you want your waters to be pure, keep your body pure. Simple. The protection we have against poverty is giving. If you break that hedge, this one is not about, you see, if you break the hedge, Satan will come in. If you are not faithful with God's money, your things will be tight. It's not God who is afflicting you. It's not Satan. This one is a rule. If you are not faithful with God's money, somebody said, if you don't pay tithe, things will be tight. I've done an extensive teaching on giving. You can get a message. What's the title? The Godhead or the Goodhead, about 10 teachings on giving, tithing, prosperity, all that. The protection we have against evil is the will of God and faith. When you are in the will of God, you are protected. And faith. Let me tell you something. I'm ending, but let me tell you something. When you are exposed, that is when Satan can touch you when you're not covered. A believer can fall into sin, and a believer will come out of the sin. A believer can fall into sin. It is a matter between him and his father. I'm talking about God. Satan doesn't have any right to come there. But the moment your covering is blown up, whatever is judgment, whatever, will touch you. In 1 Corinthians 5 verse 5, I want to show you something. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 5. This man, he was in the church, and he was sleeping with his father's wife in the church of Corinth. That church that they were speaking in tongues and all that. Now, the man was doing that thing and doing that thing and doing that thing, and they had been talking to him, but he was not repenting. And yet still, the devil could not touch him. Look at how the devil touched him. The devil only touched him when Paul said, I have delivered him over to Satan. That was when his covering was blown away. That was when Satan touched him. He said, come to verse 4. Come to verse 4. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for a destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. For as long as the church held and covered the brother, the devil could not touch him, touch his flesh. But the day Paul said, deliver him, he said, when you give him up, then Satan can now touch his flesh. That is why when people go astray in the church,
we have to cover them and restore them. The only army where we shoot our wounded is the church. That's what Paul said. We are not ignorant of his devices. Because if we don't rally around the brother and cover him with prayer and restore him with counsel, the devil can touch his flesh. His spirit will be saved. I mean, he will go to heaven. But he can die. He can get serious diseases, major accidents. He can just die. It is dangerous to walk without a covering. And by covering, I'm talking about a covering both of the church and of your father. Very dangerous. Especially of the church. That's why you don't have to be an island. There are some people, the devil starts messing them up when they leave the assembly of the believers, when they distance themselves from believers. That's where the devil starts messing with, because you have distanced yourself from people who can cover you with prayer. So the hedge is broken. Hello? Otherwise, the devil has no right. He cannot touch you, no matter what. He can't. But once the hedge is broken, you invite him. That's why we must be careful. That's why, as a leader, for instance, I am very careful how I judge people. If you make a mistake and I judge you in a way, I judge you like I give up on you in a way, it's going to be disastrous for you, because I'm your father, I'm your pastor. So sometimes somebody can make a mistake. What I will do is that I'll remove my shirt. I'll put the shirt around the person and cover the person with prayer, with counsel, till the person is whole. But otherwise, the devil can take advantage of us. So this man, later on, Paul changed his mind. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, he said, no, please, it's enough. Bring him back. Otherwise, Satan will take advantage of us. We will lose the brother. Okay, now, the last one for you to know about the devil. Satan is not omnipresent. He's not everywhere at the same time. Sometimes we think that Satan is everywhere. No. In Job 1, verse 6 to 7, he himself said that he's not everywhere at the same time. Job 1, verse 6 to 7. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and walking back and forth on it. This can't be somebody who is omnipresent. He was going to and fro. So from Ghana to Cote d'Ivoire, you know, but he has agents who carry out his will. When it's serious, then he himself will come. Yes. Sometimes you hear certain things that are happening. For instance, some years ago, the issue of spousal murder became very rampant. It was all over the news. This one has killed his wife, has killed her husband. It was just happening like that. When it's happening like that, you know that Satan is in town. He doesn't just come, he's not everywhere, but sometimes he has maybe something to do in Ghana, so he must go and make sure that it's done in Ghana. Maybe his agent in Ghana maybe is lacking. So he himself must come and ensure that things are put in place. But he is not omnipresent. He is not all-knowing. We've seen that. And he is not all-powerful. I'm going to talk about the wiles of the enemy next week. The wiles, his strategies. It will amaze you. You see,
next week you will repent that you have given the devil too much ammunition. Too much, even as a ministry, we have given him too much ammunition. Because his tricks are simple. Very simple. Straightforward. He doesn't change. He is very predictable. Right from the Garden of Eden till now, the same tricks he has been using. That's why he said, those who are peacemakers, they are the sons of God. Let you on our feet. You see, now that we have been exposing the devil, it means that now we must take the things we are studying seriously and be acting on them. From today, if you don't resist, he will resist. So you must learn to resist from today. If you don't resist, he will be around. You must learn to resist. You must learn to talk this. I want us to pray for understanding. That God will grant us understanding. And strength in spirit. Even if he comes in a dream, our spirits will be strong enough to subdue him. Let's pray. In the name of Jesus. Ephesians 3 verse 14-17 say that he might grant that you might be strengthened with might in your inner man by his spirit. That you may be strengthened with might. That God should strengthen us with might in our inner man, in our spirit, by his spirit. That our spirits will be strong. When the word of God increases in our lives, in our spirits, our spirits are strong. You say, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might, be strong in the Lord. Be built up in the word, in revelation. Now that God has revealed the devil and has unmasked him to us, this is the time for us to stand and be bold, knowing that the enemy, he has no power against us. He has no authority. He has no power against the believer. Fear must not rule our hearts. We must banish fear from our lives. We must banish fear. Because whether we die or live, we die or live to God. Satan has no business in our lives. He has no business. He has no right to touch the believer. No right. He has a right to come into your mind. But you have a right to keep him out of your mind. In the name of Jesus. Mandelebe ko satalabas. Kibra talama go santelebehes. Mantolo ko satelebe kitalas. Ikra tatawalabas santolos. Mandelebe ko tolobo satal. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We are praying this last but one prayer. See, we are praying for boldness. See, in Acts of the Apostles, they said, oh God, behold, they are threatened and grant us boldness to speak the word. Boldness, he said, the righteous is as bold as a lion. So we are praying for the spirit of boldness, the daring spirit, that we will not be afraid. We can stand face to face with the devil and call his bluff. Let's pray. In the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for the spirit of boldness. That you empower us through your word. That our spirit man will be energized. Will be emboldened. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Kobrehe talabas. Manderebeko sitalas. Makaya terebeko zates. Mandoroboko zatalabas. Inga te krebe sotilis. Makaya de te te bo sita. Ikarama sikologo sala. Rikerebe ke telebes. in the name of Jesus. Boldness in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We will not retreat nor surrender. We will speak. We will resist the devil. No matter what he does, we will not leave our place. We will not leave our ground. We will stand on the finished work of Christ. On the finished work of Christ. And resist him. Resist him. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We are praying the last prayer for Ghana, as we always do. We are praying that prosperity will come to Ghana. The plan of God for this nation will be established. Any good plans the politicians have, you see, the destiny of the nation is not in the hands of the politicians. It's in our hands as a church. So any good plans they have, let God breathe on those good plans. Any evil, selfish plan that they have, let those plans perish. Let's pray. In the name of Jesus, we speak into Ghana's prophetic destiny. That Ghana is a blessed country. In the name of Jesus, that the plan of God, purpose of God for Ghana will be established. Prosperity will come to Ghana. In the name of Jesus, revival will come to Ghana. In the name of Jesus, restoration will come to Ghana. In the name of Jesus, every good place of the government of the day, let the breath of God be released and let the hand of God bring them to pass. Any evil, selfish, wicked plans, we cripple those plans. We command those plans to perish in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Father, we thank you. We bless you. Thank you for exposing the enemy and for teaching us about his wiles and his strategies. We pray that you continue to open the eyes of our understanding. Help us, grant us boldness in our hearts. Let our hands be strengthened and our feet be firmly planted in your word. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Please take your seats.